are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, as the calendar year winds down, it's a natural time for businesses and teams to pause, look back, reflect, and so forth. But true leadership isn't just about the finish line, right? It's about the review process itself. That's what the issue is about. How do you get, do great leaders rather leverage year-end reflection to galvanize their teams, learn from missteps, and set the stage for explosive growth in the next year? Now, we're diving deep into the art of year-end review and uncovering why reflection is the ultimate leadership super skill. And joining and leading out this afternoon is going to be thought leader Dolly Ngonje, who comes through to help us make sense of how to do it right. Good afternoon to you, Dolly, and welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon, Derek. Thank you so, so much for having me. Afternoon to you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. Trusting that we find you well.
I'm great. I'm fantastic and very gloomy Johannesburg. So you will let me know if you can't hear me clearly. Because no, you know what tech does sometimes, but I'm 100% good.
I don't know. We're getting you loud and clear. And thank you for taking the time to come through, share with us, especially on such a topic that is pertinent as we go through the year-end period. So we are looking at issues of year-end reflection now. Many companies are wrapping up their fiscal years right now from leadership perspective. Why is the process of formal year-end, especially from the reflection side of things, more than just, you know, okay, we closed shop before we closed for the festive period? Why? Talk to us a bit about that.
Absolutely critical, Derek. I agree, because when businesses, I mean, when they go into business, it's about creating and adding value, right? And so businesses that do want to become sustainable, not only now, but in the long run, are those that actually take a step back and they reflect and they pause. Essentially, they pause around what is the impact of their business to whether it's their customers, communities that they serve, or individuals at large, essentially. And so leaders in business can't, you know, afford to remain in autopilot in terms of how they can reflect and ask themselves powerful questions. And if I think about an incredible method that progressive leaders actually tend to use, is the stop, start, and continue method.
Yeah.
And essentially ask themselves, what do we need to stop doing? What are some of the behaviors and practices that no longer serve us as a team, as a business, organization at large? But what, you know, new behaviors can we adopt? What do we start doing, you know, and mindsets that are going to help us forge ahead as a business?
Yeah.
Or what do we need to continue doing? You know, what are our key strengths as a business that we can continue to leverage on to be able to gain value as a business? So reflection is incredibly powerful for leaders, for businesses, in order for them to be able to be sustainable.
So important, so important. Now, this idea, how does it then encourage it? It's going to be talking about encouragement of teams. How does that, talking about the importance as well of looking backward to their challenges and wins, is actually, how does this help them move forward into the new year more effectively? This idea of revisiting those highs and those lows.
Another important question. I mean, if I think about a progressive leader, that leader is one that has a growth mindset. And it's a leader that essentially says, you know, how can we do things better as a team in order for us to be able to grow? But also when they look at the barriers, you know, or things that didn't go well throughout the year, but they look at them as opportunities. How can we take this and actually turn it into a good story, you know, the following year more than anything else? I think for me, that really does encourage the team to get excited about what can actually be done better more than anything else. And important that you encourage not to necessarily camp and stay in the past and in things that didn't necessarily go well, and not to also look at feedback as an attack, but as an opportunity to then kind of consume what could actually be done better versus what we haven't necessarily done better. So I think for me, it's really just having a growth mindset that says, okay, guys, this is where we are now. You know, we've excelled here. Where we haven't, how do we look at that as an opportunity for us to continue to flourish here on year? So I think that I do have a growth mindset.
Certainly.
That encourages teams.
Yeah. And I think you, growth needs to be measured, right? You can't just say because we were successful, therefore we grew. You can still be successful and be going down. So I think you need that measuring part to say, okay, this is where we were. Now we are here. Therefore, yes, still successful, but definitely with an upward trajectory. I think that's quite important. We're still getting a bit of a cut from your side. Do you mind if we try reconnect with a different line?
No, I don't mind at all. Let's try it.
Let's see if we can try get you direct, if that's okay. Because you were right that the network there is a bit choppy because of the weather. So let's see if we can try
Yes.
and get you direct so that perhaps we might be able to receive you much better on our side. If you just joined us, we are in conversation with Dolly Ngonji, who is talking to us this afternoon regarding year-end reflection. If you want to share your thoughts, your comments, you definitely can. +27 73 470 3520. And let's have a conversation regarding this thing. If you've got any comments, we want to hear from you. Dolly, do we have you back? Can you get us clearly?
I am back, and I'm hoping that I'm loud and clear.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Let's hope that this is a bit more clearer and a bit more sustained. Now, thank you so much for the conversation you just given us so far. I want us to look at some of the mistakes that leaders make, especially during this reflection period. Talk to us about some of those common pitfalls and how they can then be avoided so that this process of reflection is actually much more efficient.
Yeah, so I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is the fact that sometimes we don't lead with data or make data-based decisions when we give feedback. So sometimes as leaders, our feedback is based on sentiments. So the outcomes are sentiments rather than look at the data. What is the story that data is telling us pertaining to how we actually got here and where we are right now? Because what that does is that it enables you as a leader to have constructive and tactical conversations pertaining to where you are and your progress as an organization. The second thing for me, Derek, that I think is incredibly, incredibly close to my heart, that I think is important, is where there's no psychological safety in a team that a leader has created, it makes it difficult for the team to be able to challenge certain things and give their feedback. So if a leader does not create space for people to challenge the status quo, to challenge certain processes and practices for improvement, it forces people in a corner where they don't actually speak up anymore.
Yeah,
and you don't want
yeah.
that, because you want people to feel like they're in an environment where they can actually challenge the status quo for improvement. And there's also no magic wand for delivering business results, right? So leaders have to be intentional about creating platforms to measure delivery. So whether that's your performance management system, where you engage with your teams on a frequent basis to understand how far we go and we're headed, you know, in line with the goals that we've set ourselves, where are we doing well, where are we not? So there has to be a level of intentionality from the leader's side in terms of measuring progress. You and I both know, and you've probably heard the saying that what does not get measured does not get managed, right? It falls through the cracks. So it's so critical to kind of put in those guardrails in terms of performance management in place and have regular conversations with the team so that you don't come at the end of the year and you act like you're caught off guard in terms of performance.
No,
but when you have those frequent conversations, you'll kind of figure out whether or not you're going to make it at the end of the year, because you've got some kind of enlightenment in terms of where you are through those performance management systems.
No, certainly, certainly. And I think that's very key. And thank you so much for sharing that. Now, I want us to also consider something that usually becomes a challenge depending on maybe your personality. Even if you've got a red type of leader, he's always driving, and anything and everything seems like it's not good enough. How do you balance the celebrating of successes without thinking, okay, now guys, we don't need to do anything else, we're on the right trajectory, you know, those milestones that we have, and also not minimizing areas that actually require a significant improvement or difficult conversations? Talk to us about this idea of balancing, to say, let's celebrate, but let's also work, and let's work, but let's also be having time to celebrate.
Yeah. First of all, again, I really do want to anchor on the element of data. So I think data is very important, because data doesn't lie. It's a fact. So when you relate to your team and give feedback based on facts, it's, you know, this is where we're doing well. This is not where we're doing well.
It is what it is.
Correct. But here comes in, I think for me, the important conversation. It's not necessarily in the conversation itself, but it's the tonality and the approach of that conversation. Because you could be a leader that says, you know what, we've actually done well here. Then if you use but, and then you say but, you know, you kind of short-circuiting that conversation. But a progressive leader then says, we've done well here, you know, however, there are other opportunities of improvement and areas of improvement that you need to lock in. And that for me becomes, you know, a very intentional way of kind of guiding the team in terms of, you know, measuring progress. So it's in the tonality and the approach that you take and the words that you use as a leader to encourage the team, not only now, but in the next year, to say, okay, fine, we didn't do well here. However, there are certain opportunities, you know, that we can anchor on in order to do better. So it's in the languaging and the tonality. And sometimes as leaders, we fail because we come in hot and we say, we've done well here. Here's a great milestone, you know, we failed here. And then it kind of demotivates the team and it discourages people. Yeah. But you don't want to do that. You want to highlight the milestones. At the same time, you want to say we can then leverage on A, B, C, and D to actually improve. We can look at this as an opportunity to do better where we haven't done better. And I think for me, the other thing is, how do you encourage the team culture-wise to be able to perform the following year, to build their own motivation and esteem, to be able to not only focus on the goals, but just improve the morale in order to do great work, you know, essentially, and to build on what they need to do the following year.
No, indeed. Hey, but it serves to negate whatever has been spoken of before.
So correct. It waters down the conversation. Yeah. It waters down, the conversation itself,
So now let's talk about how, you know, reflection is now done. I mean, you mentioned this idea of data. Once the reflection is done, we've done the process of looking at the highs and lows and where we were and where we want to go, perhaps. How do we translate this idea of data into creating clear, motivated goals now for the upcoming year and where we want to take the business or the movement or the institution?
You can't go wrong with data. Yeah. I think some of us, most times we really want to be qualitative and tell the story. But if you are qualitative without the actual data, it kind of waters down, you know, what you're trying to do. So essentially for me, Delta tells a story. If you look at data as a storyteller, then that's where you derive power, because you can't solution for something that you don't know. Again, data is factual. Data tells you what needs to be improved. Mm-hmm. Data tells you where gaps are. Data tells you what opportunities you can use to leverage, right? And so for me, I think it's so critical, just look at the data in its varied forms and then kind of use that to inform what your next year actually looks like. Mm. Because you can't go wrong with that, right? And you're able to measure data. Data are facts. And I think for me, that's the anchor. I think I always want to go back to that. That data helps us tell a story. Data helps us kind of crystallize emotion from fact, essentially, and help us carve out the goals that we actually need to define in order to be successful.
Yeah, it does do that. Maybe closing up, if listeners can take just one idea from this conversation on closing the year well and reflecting, what should that be in your advice? What would you say to them, guys, this year is the key thing?
Yeah. So firstly, for me, I want leaders to know that they're human. There's so many pressures that are placed on leaders based on, you know, so much evolution in corporate structures or society in general. So leaders feel so much pressure because the work that they do is critical. It doesn't just involve the bottom line, but it involves delivering to human beings and creating tangible human experiences for people to be able to grow. And so I want leaders to understand that they're also human and it's progress over perfection. They always have to remember that. There is an author I love a lot called Mari Ann Williamson. She's a spiritual author, and she's written a book called A Book on a Return to Love. And she speaks very eloquently about the power of love and compassion in business. And she says that think of the work that you do not as separate from your spiritual life, but as central to your spiritual life. Okay. That whatever your business is, it is your ministry. That whatever your business is, it is an instrument to do good and to change the world for the better. So it's truly not just about the bottom line. Yes, we understand that that's key. That's why the business is there in terms of adding value. But you cannot deliver business results without people. And so people have got to be a number one value proposition that you actually focus on in order to enable those business, that business performance. So people are key. And so we have to look at people as humans and not machines necessarily in order for us to be able to cultivate the right environment for people to grow, for them to thrive, to be productive, to deliver effective business results and performance.
Yeah, no, certainly people are what it's all about. And, you know, remind me of that quote, I forgot who it was, one of the leaders of the big companies who were saying, you know what, we must train our people. And the management team came and said, hey, what if we train them and they leave? And they then said, hey, but what if we train them and they stay? We don't train them and they
100%.
Stay. You know, what then? So it's about the people, and they are human beings. We need to treat them as such, and not just expect numbers from them. Well, thank you so much, Dolly, for your time this afternoon. Appreciating you so much, and have yourself a great festive season.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays, and thank you for the invite. Always love being here. Thanks, Derek.
Only a pleasure. Take care, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, then. Bye.
Bye. That's how we wrap up our study, our conversation, our lesson here on thought leadership. We're talking matters of life, right? And we're saying, as you close off shop, yes, you're a leader. It's about reflection. You don't just say, okay, thanks, bye-bye, see you guys. What is it that you're going to be utilizing from the year that's been to move you into the coming year?
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.